Welcome to All The Best. I'm Meryn Winchester. Well, it's that time of year again. Merry Christmas, everyone. And just when you might have been getting into the traditional side of things, we thought we'd bring you something new and original. These are stories that are a little bit naughty and a little bit nice. However, if the whole family is sitting around the wireless having a bit of a listen, we do need to let you know that one of our stories today contains adult themes and it may offend some listeners. But that's later in the episode and I'll tell you about that when we get there. Bard to the Bone is an improvisational Shakespeare group who perform improvised stories, which means they just make it up on the spot, even the music. They came into the studio to create for you a special Christmas story. Things are about to get a bit weird. And welcome, kind sirs. Who are you?
Hello. Well, we are collectively Bard to the Bone.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Huzzah! Yes. And sitting around the microphones today, we have Marco, John, myself, Michael, and Bryce.
Huzzah! Salutations!
Basically, what we do is improvise Shakespeare. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to improvise a little mini Shakespearean play and we're going to theme it for Christmas, seeing it's that time of year. But we're going to get your assistance. We're going to get you to help us out with a couple of things. So we might start off with a little bit of intro music. I'll do a little bit of an introduction. And then I'll ask you to throw in a couple of things for us to include in our first scene. So here we go. Act one. Scene one.
Verily, 'twas the night afore Christmas, and all through the land, happiness and joy. But no, 'twas not all grand, for there were those that were unhappy, those that were sad. For at Christmas time, they felt so terribly bad.
And at this point, I'd like to ask you for a word you associate with Christmas. Some kind of word you associate with Christmas.
A pine tree.
Pine tree is the word we associate with Christmas. And we'd also like to get an occupation of some sort.
A marine biologist.
A marine biologist and a pine tree.
My good sir, thou hast undone me. This pine cone thou hast thrust into my bosom and twisted it has taken my life.
Yea, sir, I didst ask thee for thy doubloons and thou hast given me naught. I am at Christmas poor. I am a man upon the streets. I had offered thee a way out and thou hast chosen the pine cone, sir. Thou hast supped of thine own hubris.
Thou art a wretched fool indeed. Dost thou not realize, canst not thy sea, the ocean, encroaching upon the town?
Say, I care not for what the environment doth do unto the planet, for I'd but care about my own regards.
It is simply my studies that have kept
the water back. Quiet!
Find the marine biologist, save the city.
I am done.
Act two. The townsfolk are alarmed, for the seas are rising.
Mine feet are moist! What is this?
Is it Christmas snow that has melted early?
Nay, I think this comes to us from out the sea. I think the sea doth attack us as snow doth fall.
Lo, the oceans themselves do kiss my footwear.
We must stop them. May we wish to Santa Claus for some kind of enormous wall to protect us?
Santa Claus!
Thou speak of magic and witchcraft.
No, please! Burn me not! No, do not tie me!
Burn him!
Burn him!
Take his pine cone!
He is burning except his feet, which are covered in water. It is a reminder we must find a marine biologist at once.
Thou trust thyself in science, sir? Yet not witchcraft, thou art a strange yet modern man.
Thou town people, rough and rude as they are, have murdered all marine biologists. We, a centre of marine biology, now hast but none available.
Oh, if only a marine biologist would come and help us in our hour of need.
Act two, scene two. In a coach, travelling along the highway.
Mariana, Yes? Thou art a beautiful woman. And a brilliant scientist.
Danke, my good sir. Thou art such a gentleman.
I am so pleased that thou hast given away thy career and thy life to be my handmaiden.
I do not consider myself a handmaiden in these times of modern. I consider myself a partner.
Oh, there. Stand and deliver. Give us your marine biologist or give us your life.
There's a man outside this is armed with pine cones.
Oh, quick, do not give him to me to him. I am but a single woman. I cannot survive.
We know you got a marine biologist in there.
Yes, take her. Save my life.
Thou art not a gentleman. Thou art a brute. Thou hast no worth. I hope thou dost die an ugly death.
Curse taken. Begone with thee.
You're coming in with us, my lady. In our town you shall be queen, for we do revere the knowledge that is biological and marine.
Please, just be gentle with me and I will do all I can. I have never been taken so roughly by so crude a gentleman, and yet I see something in your eyes. Oh, it is a droplet of water.
That's right. That's right, the ocean is rising. I've got some water in my eye, some seawater in my eye. I'm going to be able to get it out.
I am feeling rising tides within myself too, good sir.
Well, I never expected to find romance on the highway like this. I've been a highwayman all my life.
I know.
But there's no time for this. Our town, it's being overcome by water. We need your expertise.
All right, but I do have a secret that I wish none to know. Please do not let them hurt me when they find out. I will save thy town, but thou must save my secret.
If I knew your secret, I would be able to keep it. But since I don't know it...
Or I will tell you.
Right.
Meanwhile, in the town...
I see that they're more than sea level. Oh, I can't breathe.
My pine cone is all wet. It'll never work as a weapon now.
What's going on? We're done for.
Meanwhile, at the stagecoach.
I was born in the water. For I understand the seas because the seas are a part of me. Behold, if I do raise my skirt, 'tis no woman but fish.
You have a tail and scales, my lady.
I do, but judge me not for them, for within I have a heart as bright and kind as anyone's.
Thou'rt off, lady, off fish thou art.
I am, but I am all marine biologist, and I will save you.
Well, here we are, we've arrived at the town.
We're drowning.
'Tis a witch, 'tis a fish witch. Aha, fish woman has descended. This is the beginning of the end.
I should have put my skirt back down. Now I have given my secret away to everyone.
Good people of the town, I have come to know this lady.
Hook her and gutter, that's what we say. Hook her and gutter.
She's come to save us. She's come to save our town. She's a marine biologist.
I know you do fear me because I am foreign and
Please put your skirt down.
I'm sorry. I know, good people, that you are simple folk, prone to violence, and I do understand that too, for I...
She'd be good for bait.
Do not speak of me like that. I am still half a person.
Go on. Tell us every plan to save the town.
I can save your town, for I do speak unto the sea as the whisperer of dogs does speak to dogs.
You're a sea whisperer.
Sea whisperer. Why are we whispering sea whisperers?
Why are we whispering?
Keep it quiet.
But if I am to save your town, you must change your ways. For the sea does not simply attack towns for no reason.
You mean there's a reason why the sea has risen on our town?
Because there's a witch with a tail! No, sorry.
Your skirt, for God's sake!
It keeps coming up. It's riding up. It doesn't fit around my scales as well. Look, the point was and is that the sea comes in When love and kindness and respect for others has gone out, it tries to dampen violence. That is the only reason it would come in.
It's a completely ridiculous idea.
Well, she may have a point, you know. We have become rather enamored of our pine cones and the violence we can inflict with them.
I've only killed 5 men this week.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it? Mm. Think back. Think back a few years. How many men did you kill with a pine cone when you were a lad? When you were full of hopes and dreams and aspirations.
I wanted to be a pine cone once.
You wanted to be a pine cone? See, that's a fine aspiration for a growing lad. Now you just murder. And every time you murder a person, you murder a pine cone as well.
It's true, you're spoken true. Save us, oh fishtail woman.
My name is Mariana, and I shall swim out and shave your town, but you must shave yourselves while I do it.
Wait, shave ourselves! All right,
no, shave
yourselves!
Right, shave as in to rescue yourselves!
Look, I was going to say, luckily, we have 12 barbers in this town, so it won't be a problem.
Oh, I will swim out! Good waity, goodbye!
Godspeed, Mariana!
It's a miracle! Christmas morning, and the seas are receding!
The seas are gone! The seas have left our town!
Hurrah!
Hurrah! Hurrah! Hurrah! Hurrah! I'm gonna stab someone with a pine cone, I'm so happy!
There's no need!
Oh yeah,
that's right.
I love you!
I love you too, good sir.
I love you!
Embrace me!
Throw away thy pine cone! And hold me close to your breast.
But where's Mariana? I don't know where Mariana is. She's gone out to... She's got rid of the sea, but she's gone. I'm going after her. Fairly well, townsfolk. I'm going to swim out after her.
Oh, good sir, you have come to my hometown now.
Oh, Mariana, there you are. I thought I'd lost you. I don't think I can live in a town with you, even with the pine cones. I don't think I live in that town anymore without you.
Oh, you have the soft tones of a little minky veil.
Oh, stop it now. Stop it.
Your words are like the songs that echo through the oceans. No man has ever chased me before.
And I shaved as well, just like you asked me to.
Oh, you are even smoother than the smoothest dugong or manatee.
Oh, stop it now.
You are the most beautiful pearl in the ocean, and I wish you to stay with me. But wait. Perhaps if we live on the shoreline, you can live the life of a man when you need to.
Right,
and
yes.
I can live the life of a fish.
Oh.
And at night we can lie together. Simply two lovers, two crazy half fish, half people. Making two whole people.
And so the two lovers got their wish. They lived together, half person, half fish.
Kill him with the pine cone!
No, no!
No!
It has returned!
Put your skirt down!
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Barred to the Bone with a special improvised story just for you, all the besters. What a talented group of performers.
Festive merriment unto you all.
Merry Christmas and may your baubles always be shining.
Ah, most joyous salutation unto the birth of a small child to a virgin woman.
So, office Christmas parties. They can be the scene of sophisticated socialising with colleagues and friends, or it can be the scene of debauchery, drunkenness, and mourning after regret. Some workplaces actually send out a memo with an itty-bitty reminder of how to behave. This story was produced by Sarah Lowe.
Office Christmas parties, a great escape from the daily grind, to celebrate the year that's been with colleagues and a free drink or two.
This is an event. Like you get an invitation, you're dressed up, you're going to, for the purpose of unwinding and having fun. So people, I think, let down a bit more of their guard.
I think just being around Christmas time and that as well, everyone's always a bit more relaxed and a bit chirpier and happier. Just that time of year, I suppose.
A parallel universe where the office rules no longer apply and there's no consequences to actions until the next workday.
I've heard of one story where colleagues had an encounter, but one of them was married, and the next day he approached everyone that had witnessed the situation and apologised to them individually.
Some workplaces issue advice about the office Christmas party to remind workers that Mondays always follow. But do people take these on board?
As we approach the festive season, many of us will be attending work and client functions. These events are an important and welcome way of celebrating and closing the year with our colleagues and clients. However, it is important that we approach such celebrations responsibly. Please note these important reminders as we move into the festive season.
I guess it's just another chance to socialise. Good fun.
Very enjoyable. There's almost a stigma that goes along with not going to the Christmas party.
Lead by example, with each other and our clients.
I just want to see people in like a civilian kind of get-up, you know, outside of the whole tie, suits, you know, give me this now.
And we've noticed when it has a theme or a dress-up theme, people tend to let their hair down and then just, you know, go out a little bit, a bit harder and party a little bit harder.
It's always good to see people dancing as well. Yeah, it's like you appreciate them a little bit more. Because they're not just someone who's trapped behind a laptop.
Enjoy the food. Take advantage of the great hospitality and eat well. Drink responsibly. If consuming alcohol, drink in moderation so as not to impact your safety or that of others.
Oh, it's always a nice chance to get together with people outside of work. It's, nice chance of a free drink, I guess.
Depending on whether the license is before the alcohol or after the alcohol, yeah, that's a factor.
Usually after, isn't it? Usually gets better after.
Are you planning to burn up the dance floor?
No.
Respect the party and time. Work functions will have an endpoint, and your support in leaving and heading home is appreciated.
Christmas Memo was produced by Sarah Lowe. You're listening to All the Best with Merrin Winchester. This is where I need to give you the adult-only content warning, and this story may offend some listeners. This is The True Meaning of Christmas by Tug Dumley.
It's Christmas Eve. Santa and Jesus are having a beer. Wow, it's that time of the year again, sighs Santa. Deck the reindeer with boughs of bloody jingle bells. Come all ye merry silent nights. Same old crap. What I'd give for a good dose of toxic death. Jesus raises a glass. Amen to that, bro. Santa continues. Then there's the obnoxious brats, prodding my belly, pulling my beard, pissing in my lap, not to mention the travel sickness. Look at this costume. I mean, look at it. It's ridiculous. At least you get a nice, simple, dignified white robe. And don't even get me started on my health. You think I enjoy stuffing down 6 meals a day? No, I'm contractually obligated to remain obese. My cholesterol's murderous. I've got a crooked back and piles the size of garden hoses. On top of that, I was supposed to squeeze down millions of filthy chimneys designed to fit nothing but skinny child urchins during the Industrial Revolution. And for what? Job satisfaction? Don't make me laugh. I mean, Jesus, it's your birthday. How come I get lumbered with all the work? Jesus is stunned. What do you mean? He says. You're the one who hijacked things. I didn't ask you to crash my party. You invited yourself. What are you moaning for anyway? You're not even real. You're a crass commercial fiction, cooked up by Coca-Cola to milk money from my birthday and cheapen my message.
You're oiling the machinery of capitalism with the blood of the workers. Not to mention destroying the environment with millions of Chinese factories spewing out poisonous smoke to make all that plastic crap. Oh, please, says Santa. Get off your bolshy soapbox. I don't see the Pope starving, do you? What do you mean fiction? Do these calluses look like fiction? Huh? Does this bulbous red alky's nose look like fiction? Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. All that born in a manger malarkey, visited by shepherds led by a star. All I can say, mate, is your scriptwriter sure had some good drugs. I mean, virgin birth, immaculate conception, immaculate deception, more like it. Really, can you honestly picture God jacking off into a test tube and dipping his hand down through the clouds to slip it up Mary on the sly? Come on, son, you're in denial. Your mum was rooting around behind Joseph's back. Jesus explodes. Oi! Listen, you polar bear-plugging, seal-sucking lump of lard. You say just one more thing about my mum, and I'll shove your gumboots so far up your ass, you'll be walking out of here on your head. An awkward pall of silence descends. Jesus orders a Bloody Mary. Eventually, he speaks. What are you whining about anyway? A bit of seasonal work. What about me? Not only have I had to cop the same crappy nativity scenes and hymns for 2,000 years, I'm on call year-round, spying on adulterers, listening in on deathbed confessions. All that voyeurism, it's just not healthy. Then there's Easter. It kills me. Every year, I have to relive being stripped, whipped, and pinned up like an insect. You just dole out a few prezzies, mate. But I died to save the world. For all the good it's done. Nah, you're all alike. You, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. Moan, moan, moan. You wouldn't know hard work if it punched you in the face. Is that right? Says Santa, draining his pint. Is that a fact? Well, smart guy, seeing as my job is so cushy, I'm sure you won't mind taking a little wager. I'll tell you what. This year, I'll do your job, you do mine. We'll swap roles. We'll see who's smiling at the end of the day. First one to quit, coughs up a grand. Done, says Jesus, slapping the bar. The pair head to the toilet to swap costumes, both smugly confident. However, there are only two cubicles, one of which is already occupied by a radio celebrity, Mr. Adam Johns, and a schoolboy. No worries, says Santa. We're both men of the world. We'll go into this one and change together. They enter the cubicle and start undressing. Jesus removing his crown of thorns, sandals and robe, and Santa his coat, boots and belt. And then, as they start noticing each other's bodies, a strange thing happens. Something about Santa's great pale tundra of flesh excites in Jesus a forbidden yearning. Just as Jesus, whippet-like physique, gives Santa a blood rush to the loins. They stare at each other. I thought you were supposed to be circumcised, says Santa. Well, I was, says Jesus, sheepishly. Then I discovered masturbation. Accidentally healed myself. There's an embarrassed silence. You know, says Santa, it's Christmas. We shouldn't be fighting. The truth be told, for all my professed jollity, I'm a lonely man. I've got few friends and my sex life's a joke. I only come once a year and then it's down the chimney. Jesus nods in sympathy. I know where you're coming from, bro. I haven't even had my second coming yet. And before either of them really know what's happening, they're madly embracing, exploring each other's bodies. Santa clasps Jesus' firm buttocks and begins darting his tongue in and out of the stigmata like a hummingbird at a flower, as Jesus explores Santa's naked acres with a greedy relish, burying his face in the bushy white beard for a tongue tango before getting down on his knees to explore the South Pole. Unbeknownst to both, however, they are being observed. The hotel proprietor, Frank Nile, is watching these goings on through a camera with alarm and disgust. So much alarm and disgust, in fact, that he begins to furiously fondle himself, watching for a full 15 minutes before putting away his limp, dribbling tackle and calling the cops. The authorities arrive promptly and kick in the cubicle door. Santa tries to explain.
You obviously have the wrong impression, officer. What I was trying to do was tie my friend's shoelace and...
Stow it, snaps the cop. What's your name, pal?
Jesus Christ, replies Jesus.
Pull the other one, growls the cop. It plays jingle bells.
Oh, please, not that, begs Santa.
The cops pull out their batons, and things are looking ugly, until Mr. Johns, the radio celebrity, steps forward from his cubicle to save the day. After seeing who he is, the cops hastily apologise and withdraw, leaving the famous star to take the law into his own hands. Jesus and Santa thank him profusely, asking how they can ever repay him. Mr. Johns, dreaming of a white Christmas, beckons them to follow him back into the cubicle to get better acquainted. Minutes later, as they all collapse on the floor in a writhing, sweating heap, everyone knows that the true meaning of Christmas is coming together.
Beautiful story. That was Tug Dumley exploring the true meaning of Christmas. And with that happy ending, we leave you for another week. Thank you to Sarah Lowe, Bard to the Bone, and Tug Dumley for their contributions, and Merry Christmas.
Hi, this is Tug Dumley, and I just want to say all the best to all the best, and all the best to all the best, all the best listeners. You are all the best. And God bless all you Christians, and God bless all you pagans alike.
All the Best is produced at FBI Radio in Sydney in association with SYN in Melbourne and 4ZZZ in Brisbane. All the Best is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Our production manager is Carly-Anne Keneally, our executive producers are Jordana Caputo and Belinda Lopez, and I'm Maren Winchester, the Features Executive Producer. Catch us next week for more homegrown stories from around Australia.